ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः, गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। इज ओनली सैयदत महाराज की जय। प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय मोस्ट हम्बल ओबेजेंसेस। आई एम सॉरी, प्लीज ब्लेस मी टू स्पीक। Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 8 and Verse Number 7, Chapter entitled The Story of Pingala. Text 7. Drishtva Striyam Devamayam तद्भावैर् अजितेन्द्रियः प्रलोभितः पतति अंधे तमस्यग्नौ पतंगवत्। दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियं देवमायां तद्भावैर् अजितेन्द्रियः प्रलोभितः पतत्यन्धे तमस्यग्नौ पतंगवत्। दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियं देवमायां तद्भावैर् अजितेन्द्रियः प्रलोभितः पतत्यन्धे तमस्यग्नौ पतंगवत्। दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियं देवमाया हम लोभीय पतति अंधे तमस्यांगे पतंगवात्। दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियं देवमाया प्रलोभितः पतत्यन्धे तमस्यग्नौ पतंगवत्। लेडीज, अचैत्रियः प्रलोभितः पतत्यन्धे तमस्यग्नौ पतंगवा। दृष्ट्वा सीइंग श्रियम अ वुमन देवमायाम हूज फॉर्म इज क्रिएटेड बाय द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी ऑफ द लॉर्ड। tat bhavai, by the alluring, seductive activities of the woman, ajita, one who has not controlled, indriyahai, his senses, pralobhitaha, enticed, patati, falls down, andhe, into the blindness of ignorance, tamasi, into the darkness of hell, agnau, in the fire, patangavat, just like a moth. Translation. One who has failed to control his senses immediately feels attraction upon seeing a woman's form, which is created by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, when the woman speaks with enticing words, smiles coquettishly, and moves her body sensuously, his mind is immediately captured, and thus he falls blindly into the darkness of material existence, just as the moth maddened by the fire rushes blindly into the flames. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in this regard that just as a moth is killed by its attraction to the form of fire, similarly a bee can be easily killed by exploiting its attraction to the fragrance of flowers. Furthermore, hunters may trap and kill an elephant by exploiting its sensuous desire to touch a captive female elephant, and may also kill a deer by attracting it with the sounds of their horns. And a fish is killed by its desire to taste the bait on the hook. Thus, one who desires to learn detachment from should accept these five helpless creatures as guru and learn the needful. Certainly, one who is lusty to enjoy the illusory form of a woman will be quickly buried in material illusion. Of the five types of fatal attractions involving material sense objects, the lessons of rupa or form is illustrated in this verse. Hare Krishna. Very difficult verse to speak on. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stvapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Srimad Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse. Maybe wrong verse I have taken out. One second. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Point 37. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajo Gunasamudbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyena Vidyenam Ihavairinam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, O Arjuna, which is born of contact with material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Then in 41, he says, therefore, O Arjun, O best of Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, that is lust, by regulating the senses and slay this forever, slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So, all of us know that we are here because of the desire of enjoying independent of the Lord, which has bestowed us with this body made of five senses. And then there are objects of these five senses, and the contact of the senses with the objects of senses is a cause of all suffering in the material world. And over again, Sri Krishna is warning to all of us through Bhagavad Gita that it is this desire to enjoy separate from the Lord causes all the misery in the material world. Birth, old age, disease and death, all the trivida, tap, the threefold miseries, the illusion and eternity of suffering is because of the desire to enjoy separate from the Lord. The very body also is given to us as per our desire. So it's a big network. We say every morning, afternoon, evening before prasad, sharira avidya jal, jadendriya tahe kal, and jive phele vishaye sagore. So, Rupa Goswami also is mentioning in Upadeshamruta, that the tongue is the beginning of all the miseries that are coming forth. And food is something which also is the cause of our consciousness. And Rupa Goswami also explains that the Upastha Vega is the third in line. First in line is tongue. Second in line is Udara Vega. That is the vega of filling the stomach with food. And third in line is, which is affected by the two, is Upastha Vega. That's the vega of genitals. And one who is not in control of tongue cannot imagine to any time control the Udara Vega and Upastha Vega. So this verse is equally applicable to brahmacharis, sannyasis, grahasthas and vanaprasthas. Because our dress may be different, but we have the same senses as others. And we have the same objects of senses in the world as others have to interact with. So we have to take this verse in absolute sense. And we have to take it in such a way that it is meant for me. Whichever ashram I am in, whichever stage I am in, whichever transitional phase I am in. So, food is extremely important in the matter of this discussion. In the early days of our Krishna consciousness, we had heard, and it has somehow, because the early days consciousness, early days in, you know, enthusiasm, it penetrated in the heart, which said that, the line said that, prasadam is 100% transcendental, but those who eat, they may not be. So prasadam is non-different from Krishna and is transcendental. And as Krishna reciprocates with us as per our level of surrender and consciousness, so to the degree we are surrendered to Krishna, to that degree prasadam will act as transcendental effect on the soul. And to the degree we are not, it will act accordingly, which means the sweet will have its own effect and the proteins will have its own effect. And the items that you love to eat, like gulab jamuns and sweets and fried and other things which are simple, all of them will have accordingly effect on the consciousness. This is extremely important to understand. We are also told, when I was in the ashram in Rishikesh, the devotees have only two happiness. One is the holy name, kirtan. Another is food, prasadam. Everything else has been given up as when you stay in ashram. So we should eat prasadam to the fullest content. Even the prayer says that. Sayanna Mrutupav, Radha Krishna Madhava. Have prasadam to the heart's content. But if we go deep in this subject matter, then we understand that it's also important to eat the kind of food that is necessary for our spiritual advancement. Eating also has to be with intelligence. Everything that, like, if Bhima eats X amount of food, Arjuna may not be able to digest that food which Bhima eats. That means everybody is individual. Everybody's situation is individual. Everybody's challenges are individual. So we need to choose even the items in prasad as per our situation. And if I am very lusty, then I am advised to give up sweets and fried food. And also I am advised to eat early in the night, as early as possible, not just before sleeping. Have a gap between the last meal and the sleeping time, at least 2 hours. Chant the holy name, make the stomach light and go to sleep. And don't drink hot milk, condensed milk in the night before sleeping. There are so many injunctions are given, even as students and then as afterwards we have read this. And if you don't follow this, and we are not 100% surrendered, pure conscious, pure devotees of the Lord, then that food will affect us and that will show its own effect. Although it is only prasadam that we eat in temple and at our homes. This fact we have to accept with great humility. If I am X personality, then I have to do accordingly. And suppose some devotees are weak in their health, they are very thin and very emaciated maybe because of some difficulties. Then they are advised to eat these heavy stuffs. But there is a time for that. You can't eat those in the night. You can't go to a program and eat those kind of things at 10:30 in the night. Then you will have the difficulty, 100%, physically and also spiritually. So, devotional life is our enjoyment, no doubt about it. We are all pleasure-seeking people, ananda mayo vyasat. But that ananda, how to take, is very important. We are all entitled for happiness. We are not supposed to deprive us of happiness, but we are supposed to train ourselves how that happiness should be achieved and accepted in life. It cannot be indiscriminate, any time of the day, any kind of happiness. We need to be guided by our seniors and our guru to learn to accept the enjoyment, happiness in Krishna consciousness in a very trained and regulated manner. Then all that happiness that we are receiving will help us to progress in Krishna consciousness, not to degrade us from one stage to another. So that is why as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is filled with descriptions of prasadam. So much of description is there, sometimes the outside world people feel that what kind of book is this? Is a nutrition book? This is the book of food items. Everywhere what we describe and what we hear is only food items. But those who were there relishing these pastimes of prasadam, they were on the purest of platform. They were not like us, struggling with our senses. They were not accepting the gulab jam as gulab jamun. They were accepting the gulab jam as prasad of the Lord. Hey, shakka Krishna swadilo. This sabji, this vegetable, because it is accepted by Krishna, I love it and I taste it. Although I don't like karela, but this is accepted by Krishna as bhoga and now it has come to me as prasad. I love it because Krishna has taken it. But when we eat that gulab jam as gulab jam because I loved it from childhood, then that will have effect on the consciousness accordingly. We need to understand that. And human life is meant for, ultimately it is meant for restricting our senses and engaging those senses in service to Krishna. Tapodivyam putrakadi. Yashvadev told his sons that the purpose of human life is to restrict the senses, not to allow the senses to go indiscriminately for enjoyments with contact of sense objects. So if you are serious in bhakti, and we are serious in achieving the lotus feet of the Lord and service to the devotees, then whatever stage we are in, whether we are brahmachari or grahastha, we need to understand this very carefully. Because that is where our progress or fall down lies. The secret of that is there. So, in the initial stages when we were eating all nonsense foods, We were told, fill the belly till neck with prasad of Krishna. When Ekadashi came, we were told, fill the belly till neck with all Ekadashi prasadam, but don't eat grains. But that's all in the initial stage. Later on, we're not supposed to just go on eating all kinds of stuff on Ekadashi and say we are on Ekadashi fast. It is just to allow us to get distracted or get detached from the previous attachments. But once we are reasonably given up the previous attachments, then in the current situation we have to train ourselves to reduce our sense gratification. There's a very thin line between a sense gratification and service to the Lord as far as food is concerned. There's a time when we have fill our bellies and we say, this is what we need, and then we say, I'll take one more pakoda, and I'll take one more sweet, and this kheer is very tasty, I'll take one more bowl. And that is where the effect on the consciousness starts. What to speak of consciousness? Even for the matter of health, this is important. Even if it is consideration of health, if you eat more than you need, you fall sick. And when you fall sick, what happens? The consciousness gets completely muddled. Prabhupada said that diabetes is because of overeating. I heard several times him saying that. That means what? When we eat more than necessary, it will have effect on health also. And then there is effect on consciousness. And I think health is very important even to perform Krishna consciousness services. Even to perform the path, we need health. So if this health is not there, the base of the pyramid is not strong, health is not in place, then what to speak of self-realization? This is far off dreamy goal in life. So basic what it required is, it requires humility to accept what I am and where I am, and from there start progressing gradually. My colleague may be, so advancing, so much advancing in renunciation and bhakti, and I may not be. And that is a fact. I need to and be on my platform of Krishna consciousness genuinely and make an effort to progress from that path with great platform of humility. Then we have great hope of progress. But if we start comparing with people, imitating people, and doing other things others are doing, if Arjun starts imitating Bhima in eating, there will be a problem. But everybody is different. So first and foremost thing in avoiding the temptation of the sense object is what we eat. First step, practical step, most basic step. We all need to understand, once the tongue is controlled by eating properly and eating what is necessary in the prasadam also, then we can hope that our tongue will be controlled. And then only there will be control on vacha, how we speak and what we speak. We are driven by our consciousness to speak what we speak. But when our consciousness is getting purified with accepting prasadam in a regulated and controlled manner, in a very scientific manner, then our vacha also becomes gradually controlled. Second I remember is eyes. Eyes are another powerful contact. As this verse mentions rupa. This verse, of the five types of fatal attractions involving material sense objects, the lesson of rupa or the form is illustrated in this verse. And what is the indriya for observing rupa? Is eyes, netra. And the object is rupa, the form. What is it called in English, Sanskrit? Rupa, gandha, sparsha. Gandha, sparsha, and what is drishti, whatever. So, I remember, very significantly I remember, His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj had come to Mira Road and we had served him, prasad and everything, took care of him. And that time my wife happened to be pregnant. And then in that situation she met him so many times after offering prasadam, and there were discussions, and a long time he was there for 42 days. And then again he came. And that time I informed him, Maharaj, I have been blessed with a baby girl. So he said, oh, your wife was pregnant? I said, yes, Maharaj, she was pregnant. Last time when we were serving you, she was carrying the baby. So, I then discussed with some friends of mine and I came to know that all the sannyasis and brahmacharis are trained where to see and where not to see as far as women are concerned. Such training is there. I could understand there was such a training that when we are interacting with women, we just see, we don't see them in their eyes, or we see them somewhere else, or we see down at the feet. So much so, the purity of the vision, the sight of a renunciant, is that he didn't even notice that she was pregnant. He never saw in that direction to even come to know. As doctors we are trained to see, we immediately come to know. But as a sannyasi, he is trained in different direction. So as a sadhaka, even as a doctor, we need to train ourselves. If it's not, there is no business of examination, then we don't need to see in the areas which we don't need to see. That's all. And that's a devotee's training. Even though we are a grahastha, we are amongst our wife and children, daughters and maybe mothers and aunties. We are in the group of ladies also. But still, as a grahastha also, we need to see in a particular way, not in every single direction that we need to see. Because the objects are coming in our eyesight, we don't have to see them. And most important is not ponder upon them after you see them. Brahmacharis and grahasthas, they have the same goal of life. The goal of life doesn't differ for different varnas and ashramas. Brahmacharis are not supposed to have any women in their life, and grahasthas are supposed to have only one woman in their life. The rest all are their mothers, and from brahmacharis, everybody is mother, and for grahasthas, except one, also everybody is the mother. So, this is a wonderful gift of Srila Prabhupada. He has given such training, and that training will help. If I am a grahastha, and I have a very satisfactory grahastha ashram life, but still, there are women who are more attractive. Always there are more attractive women. Times change. Your wife may not be so attractive, and other women are attractive who come across your eyes. But the training is such that this life is not meant for pondering and indiscriminately involving ourselves into all the sense objects that keep coming across. This life is not meant for that. Those life are animal lives. We have been given a situation above animal life now. We have been vested with human body. And a goal of life in the human body is to realize God and maybe enjoy sense gratification in a polished way, in a regulated way also. The word indiscriminate is very important. Not indiscriminately we go on indulging into every object of every sense that comes across in our life by the power of destiny. We say power of destiny is such that I have been interacting with this sense object now. So that means I am supposed to enjoy that as per my destiny and as per my karma. But it is not so. Maya is all the time planning to distract us from Krishna, and devotees are always trying through satsang to attract us to Krishna. And we have to always choose the company of devotees. Whenever there is such kind of challenges, we should run to the satsang of devotees to help ourselves and to protect ourselves and not get distracted. Because once we respond to one object of sense for a second, it is enough to take us to hell. First in the form of consciousness, then physically. So, what is most important is training. And human life is meant for that training. If we do not get trained to deprive our senses of unnecessary gratification, and to give our senses enough gratification that is needed to sustain ourselves, and rest is all deprivation. It is not a negative. If you go to psychiatrists, they will tell, let him have all enjoyments. No, why are you restricting him for this, that? Why are you restricting for 16 rounds of chanting? Let him chant whatever number of chants, rounds he is comfortable with. This is what modern psychiatrists will tell you. That's why we seek devotee psychiatrists. So that they understand the psychology of a devotee. Psychology of a devotee brahmachari, devotee sannyasi, devotee grahastha, devotee lady, devotee woman, like that. So we need to Finally, if we need to progress in Krishna consciousness, we have to deprive our senses of unnecessarily gratification and provide what is necessary to maintain oneself. And only when we deprive our senses of sense gratification, then we get strength in consciousness to face the challenges outside. If we keep succumbing ourselves one after another to the forthcoming object of senses, then we become weaker and weaker and weaker in our determination. Determination, say for example, not to look to women in a very sensual way, will be only strengthened if we say no. Then it will be strengthened. And if we give in, we become weaker and weaker and weaker. And we look for a moment and then we'll keep looking for hours. That's how it begins. If I'm not supposed to see, I'm not going to see and I should not see. And if I am unable to do that, I should seek help of my fellow people to help me not to see. That's why company of devotees is extremely important. Even if we travel in train, so many women we see, if a devotee is next to me traveling in a company of group of devotees, then I am worried that where I am seeing, the fellow devotees may be seeing, so I don't see. This is a fact. Even during sleeping also, we should sleep in the company of sincere devotees, so that we don't even get bad dreams in the night, because their company next to you, their little aura, more aura, intense aura, will always protect you from distraction. If I am alone in the train, I am free to look in all directions. But if devotee is traveling with me, I will see only in the book. I will not see here and there. Because I know if he observes me seeing, then what he will think of me? And that is the mercy of the Lord. So that is why depriving our senses of unnecessarily gratification is a very important decision that we have to make. Another thing that is important to come over this attraction of opposite sex is absorption in Krishna consciousness. We remember example of Hanuman. Today is Hanuman Jayanti. Hanuman went to search for Sita in Lanka. And he happened to go everywhere because he had to see. He didn't know where to go and how to see. He was looking at everywhere. He entered in a smallest form in the palace of Ravan in the middle of the night. And he saw so many women. Some of them half naked. Some of them whatever, in a very ugly manner. In a very difficult situation for him. And he was kind of little apprehensive. Worry, I'm a brahmachari, what I'm seeing. But still, because he was absorbed in his service to search for Sita, he saw, but he didn't see in that manner where others will see. And that is very important. The example which is also given, that when you see a beautiful deer, very beautiful deer with beautiful spots on the skin and the color and the fading and the shades and the horns, if a poet comes, he will feel like writing a poetry. A tiger comes, he will not write a poetry. He will feel like eating. And a he-deer comes, will feel like enjoying with that she-deer. What is the difference? The difference is the consciousness. The tiger has different consciousness. He is not seeing, oh, my dear lover has come, let me enjoy with her. Tiger will see deer as food. The poet will see deer as a very poetic substance. I will write now beautiful poetry on this. So if we are supposed to give up this attraction, then we have to train our consciousness to be different. Our consciousness is sensual, then that object will appeal to us to get engaged and to indulge and fall down, even by sight. So we need to change consciousness. And for changing consciousness, we need to associate with devotees, eat prasad only, chant the holy name, read scriptures, serve the devotees, serve the deities, serve Tulsi Devi, go to the holy places regularly and visit the holy places, hearing the pastimes of the Lord. All the normal processes of Krishna consciousness with great determination and sincerity we have to follow. Then our consciousness will change. And I am telling you with full confidence that this happens in the course of time. We need to have faith. That process given by Srila Prabhupada is perfect. Even though physically he is not there, the formula that he has given is applicable for all time to come in the world. If you have faith, it will work. Many, many people have told what Prabhupada has given, he is working and it works. At the deathbed they have told also. So if we need to see the deer only as a creation of the Lord in a poetic way, we have to train our consciousness by our sadhana. Otherwise, we will see like the tiger or we will see like the he-deer. But we need to see it as the creation of the Lord and be thankful to the Lord. Second example of absorption, I remember that I was in a college, medical college, and you know, 17, 18 years of age, with wild, untrained consciousness, with all kinds of food that we are eating, and you know, the pride that I am an intelligent person, I have got highest marks, I have got best college, and I am a medical student, I am going to be a doctor. All the combination of this pride, and the youth, and the hormones, and everything, was agitating the mind with the opposite sex. Mind was planning so many things, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. And it was very difficult condition. Today, if I see, that time was not appearing to be difficult condition. It was like normal youthful condition. But suddenly the exam came. The 18 months period of one MBBS, 12 months period was engaged in full nonsense activities, eating, talking, doing all nonsense things. And then the last 2 months came up and no studies were done. And then suddenly I visited library and I saw all my classes slogging like anything, big bunches of books, of big books of anatomy, physiology, gynecology, all kinds of stuff was there. And they were like immersed in the middle of the book studying, and I was like crazily going around. And that gave so much tension to me that I may fail in exam. And then onwards, I started studying so much that I used to sleep at 3 a.m. and get up at 5 a.m. and again start studying. And unbelievably, I did this for 1 month. And I covered all my portion. And then one fine day when I was looking in the mirror in the hostel in the morning, I came to know that in that 1 month, I never got agitated with sexual desire. And then I came to know because I am fully absorbed and worried about my results, so that I am studying full time, that thing has been displaced somewhere else. And I was coming across young beautiful girls even that period, but that worry and absorption in study was so much, it didn't disturb me. So if we are all struggling with our senses, getting attracted to beautiful forms in the world, and if we want to actually save ourselves, then we need to get absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It is said that Krishna consciousness, if you have to define in one word, that one word in Krishna consciousness definition is absorption. That we have to be fully absorbed. And that way, this difficult goal of not getting attracted with different attractive forms in the world of opposite sex will be very easy actually. So how to do that? Huh? Shushrusho Shraddha Dhano. What is that shloka? Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. That is why a devotee is needed in the life. A Mahatma is needed in the life. When we are engaged in service to the Mahatma, or engaged in our life in his guidance, and we serve the Mahatma, then that taste will come in Krishna consciousness for the Seva, for the form of the Lord, for the pastime of the Lord, for the Dham of the Lord. And then the absorption may come if we continuously keep ourselves engaged in service to the devotees. Here we are struggling with, you know, dense contours of flesh backed up by hormones. What is the attraction that we have? We have attraction for those dense arrangement of the flesh in a particular way backed up by the hormones. And when time changes, the contours change and the hormones change and the attraction changes. So this is the best situation in youngster's life. Totally enamored by the contours in life. But when that consciousness gets engaged in service to a devotee of the Lord, automatically the taste for Krishna consciousness will come. That's all, actually speaking. Krishna consciousness is the answer. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said, the problem in the world is not poverty, not independence and dependence or whatever, foreign rule. The problem is life is lack of Krishna consciousness. That's why people are suffering. Not because British were ruling us. Not because India was poor. Not because India is mismanaged country. There are many mismanaged countries and many managed countries, but suffering continues. That's because of lack of consciousness. And as soon as Krishna consciousness comes up, and we get totally absorbed in that, then it seems all those things were disturbing me in my youth and other times when I was not in the temple. All those things appear to be insignificant now. Moksha laguta kruta. Why even moksha becomes lagu? Insignificance. Because of power of Krishna consciousness. Why that is most attractive thing for a devotee is to get moksha also becomes insignificant. Because the happiness that we derive in being absorbed in bhakti is so much that it makes sense gratification insignificant. It makes even moksha insignificant. This is the process that we have been all bestowed with. That is our greatest fortune. Although not qualified, although not so elevated or advanced, we have been given that most transcendental process of bhakti, shuddha bhakti, which ultimately in the end attracts Krishna also. But in the meantime, first it takes away all the miseries of life, klesha agni. And then all the attractive things, even bhakti, in bhakti also, becomes insignificant. Only what remains attractive is Krishna and His service and service to His devotees. So the formula is there. Only what is required is determination to follow the formula. I remember the story how one time when Lord Krishna was promising the earth and Brahma and other demigods, I will come and kill Kamsa and other demons and rid the world of demons. And he was giving, Garga Sanhita has explained that he was giving duties. Brahma, you do this. Indra, you do this. And you do that, you do that. Everybody has to contribute. Take your positions in Vrishni Vamsha, in Yadavas and Kuru Vamsha. Position yourself. I will come. And each and every demigod in detail was given what you should do. At that time, Kamdev said, I will not take up a specific service. I will do what I plan to do. So the Lord said, Lord also understood there is some ulterior motive. So Lord said, okay, you come and as per your desire you do. So what Kamdev did, Kamdev, he was given freedom to do whatever he wants. So he came to Braj and he chose a place called Ranvari. It is there near Chhata, Chhatraban. And he sent his wife and his wife developed a beautiful pond there. Such a pond. He had told her, ki, make a pond which is fully attractive to all the senses, enamoring, enticing the sense for gratification. So she used all her powers and created that pond and the whole area of Ranvari was such a way created that anybody will get lusty. Anybody will get lusty. And then Kamdev came with his bow and arrows. And the gopis came there. As a plan of Krishna took them. As soon as gopis came there, for some certain moments, they got bewildered. And they got tempted. They got attracted. And Sri Krishna saw that the power of Kamadev is also bewildering the gopis to a certain extent. So he expanded himself in front of each gopi. And as soon as Krishna expanded in front of each gopi, all that effect of Kamadev's environment and Rati Devi's environment was nullified completely and they came out of the illusion. And thus, without taking any weapon in hand, Sri Krishna defeated Kamadev and Rati. And Kamadev came and surrendered to the feet of Krishna. That is Ranvari. Without raising a weapon, Krishna defeated the influence of Kamadev on his pure devotees. And Kamadev also understood. So what is required is presence of the Lord in life. When Lord was performing Ras Leela at the bank of Yamuna in Vrindavan, Kamadev came there also. And Kamadev thought this is the best situation. I will shoot my arrow and this is, they will all become vidha, affected by my arrow. And he raised his bow and arrow, flower bow and arrow, and aimed at Krishna's lotus face. And as soon as he aimed at Krishna's lotus face, he was so much enamored by the beauty of Krishna that first of all the bow and arrow slipped from his hand and then he melted the arrow himself. Again, when Sri Krishna was in picture, Kamadeva became ineffective. And there are like that many stories. He came to Lord Shiva also and tried to do the same thing. And Shiva opened third eye and burnt him to ashes. Because Shiva was absorbed in the service of the Lord, in the thought of the Lord, in meditation of the Lord. His consciousness was fully 100% involved in Krishna. So there was a disturbance for him. Immediately he destroyed the disturbance. So wherever there is power of Krishna consciousness, this Kamadev, the attraction of the opposite sex and the objects of the world, becomes insignificant. And that is also secret of Hanumanji also. Because he is absorbed fully, magna, mantra mugdha, in the service of Lord Ram. Nothing affected him. Nothing affected him. He was so much motivated. The inner inspiration was so strong. Nothing could stop him also. No obstacles on the way to Lanka could stop him. He just, his intelligence, his determination, his desire was so strong. That what to speak of opposite sex, it's like not existing for him. Even other temptations were insignificant in front of that, what do you call, tufan in English? Stormy, the storm of the material world couldn't affect him. He had his own storm within himself of determination and desire to serve Lord Ram. That is why nothing could tempt him. Nothing could distract him. Nothing could affect him. Even when he came to Dwarka, the chakra stopped him. And chakra, he was saying, chakra is a disturbance for me. And Lord Krishna is calling me, Dwarkadish, for some service. And chakra is stopping me. So he just took chakra and folded him and put him in his mouth. And went inside. Imagine. He didn't hate chakra. Neither he considered him as insignificant or nonsense. But he felt, this is obstruction in my service to my Lord. And then when Lord told him, he is my devotee, Baba, he is my devotee. So he immediately took him out of the mouth. And that's how Sudarshan Chakra's pride was subdued by the Lord. And all this determination, motivation, stormy desire to serve the Lord is based on humility. He was not proud of any time. That is why when Chakra and Garuda and Rukmini developed little pride, Lord used Hanuman to curb that pride. Out of love, Lord did that. But he chose Hanuman. Very significant note. So, in the process of bhakti, we develop pride because of knowledge, because of the following, that because of the influence that we create, because of the position that we get, because of the power we get, whatever power we get to do things, control we get. And as soon as this kind of pride comes, immediately what comes up first is lust. Immediate. Where we want to show ourselves. And that is also the sure shot way of getting us fall down. But humility of Hanuman is very inspiring in this case. Extremely inspiring. Like in Mahabharata war, Hanumanji was told to just stand on the flag and roar. He could have said, "Arey, my Lord, don't you know I was Hanuman and I was last incarnation when you came, I was so powerful and I did so much of massacre in the enemy's camp. I can destroy all these 11 Akshavani Sanya of Kaurava. All of five Pandavas, you can rest in the tambu, in the camp, and I will kill all the Pandavas, Kauravas, and make the Pandavas victorious. Why to take trouble?" But the Lord said, "You have to roar, that's all." Many times he must have felt, Arjun was so much harassed by Karna and so many people, Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya. He felt, "Hey Arjuna, you just take rest, no, let me take the charge, I will do the needful. Why are you suffering so much?" But he was so humble, although he had so much power to do so many things effectively, he still followed the instruction of Lord Krishna just to keep roaring from the flag. He was told, keep roaring and create fear in the opposite army. That's all he kept doing. Those who have power, the power also is enticing you from within to exhibit itself. But humility of Hanumanji is very inspiring. So that's why today we should pray to Hanumanji that we need to get absorbed and enticed by the attraction of service to the Lord and to His devotees. So that all these big tempting attractions of the world become insignificant, at least for us. They will remain very powerful manifestations of the illusory energy of the Lord, tempting everybody down to the hell. Like moth is getting burnt in fire, elephant is getting attracted to the female elephant by the form of touch. Those things which destroy every soul who is not in Krishna consciousness, let those things become insignificant by your mercy, by your powerful mercy that we pray for, we desire. Otherwise, in of ourselves, there is no question that ever we will control this. Impossible. These things are not to be won over by devotee individually. This is a blessing of the Lord only. If the Lord is convinced, He will just take off the influence of this illusory energy from us. And the moment we become proud, again it will be launched on us to subdue our pride, that we are insignificant. We can never claim by the power of our sadhana, by power of our whatever we do, we never claim that I will control this sex desire, I will control this, I will control that. There is not a single thing that we can control. Every sense is enough powerful to drag us to hell at any moment of time. Only humility will keep us at the feet of the Lord. Pride will throw us away and destroy us. That is why we need company of devotees. Even though we are 30, 40, 50, 60 years in Krishna consciousness, and we may be sannyasi, we may be grihasthas, we may be brahmacharis and absorbed in doing great services, every moment is a challenge to remain humble in the service of devotees. And one moment of pride and distraction from service of devotees and Krishna can take us to hell instantly. That's why all the time it is said we are vulnerable to fall down. We are fallible. We are patanshil. And we have to keep always ourselves aware of this situation. Be conscious that I can fall down any time. And I need service of devotees and service of Krishna and absorption in service of Krishna. That will keep us safe. Otherwise, all our attempts are vain. All our attempts are external only. They will never be deep enough to touch the soul. And we want to do all our efforts to affect our soul, to uplift our soul back home at the lotus feet of the Lord in service to devotees. Hare Krishna. So, His Holiness, have any comments, any corrections? Anybody has any comments or questions, you can ask. So we will pray to Lord Hanuman while celebrating Hanuman Jayanti at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We will all pray that Hanumanji will bless us with the strength to remain absorbed in Krishna and Ram in their service and save us from the petty attractions of the material world, which are temporary, illusory, and destroying our fate. Shri Hanumanji Maharaj ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki. Thank you very much.